Today's Shir's Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph at the Mishnah on top of the Yamid. Says the Mishnah, Kosher and Deliver Piskia. If somebody has a pail that he needs to tie to be able to get to the pit or to the well, you could close it with a girdle, or you could close it with anything that's not meant to be used there on a permanent basis. For as we have been discussing in our shiurim, the concern with tying with kesher is when you make a kesher shel kayama. But here, there's no concern of a kesher shel kayama because you're not going to leave this belt that you need for other purposes there on a permanent basis. Avaloi bechevel. And that's why we could understand that you may not use a rope. Because with a rope, we need to be concerned you're going to leave it there on a permanent basis. Rabbi Yehuda, however, says you may even use a regular belt to make this, to tie this pail to the belt. Klalam Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda teaches us a rule, kol kesher she'en kayama, if it's a kesher that's not meant to be there permanently, the halacha is, ein chayav malav, it's not considered kshira. So ask the Gemara, when we learn in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says that you could use any type of rope. What does he mean? Ilay mechevel de alma. If you're going to say any regular rope, Rabbi Yehuda matter. Why would Rabbi Yehuda allow us to use such a rope to tie to the boat, to the pail? Kesher shel kayamahu. Isn't this a permanent kesher? And kesher shel kayama is never mutter. Says the Gemara, it must be chevel de gardi. It's a rope that the weaver uses. And since it's a rope that the weaver uses, he's not going to leave it there on a permanent basis because he needs it for whatever he does. Lememra savri. Lememra. So that would mean that the Rabbanon who disagree with Yehuda, obviously of the opinion, the Gazrinan, chevel de gardi, or the chevel de alma, that they're going to say that you can't even use a regular rope that's used for the weaver because we're concerned that if you're going to allow you to use that rope, you may use a regular rope. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, whereas Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is, Loi Gazrinan, we don't have such a concern. Vermini asked the Gemara, how can we learn Pshat that way? It says in a Braisa, Chevel Delisha Nifsak, if the rope of a pail broke, tore, Loi Kashroi, don't make a knot. Ela oimvoy, make a bow. Rabbi Huda says, Kairachalov pandor piskia, you could put around it a belt or something. Vachloy inveno, don't even make a bow. So ask the Gemara, Kasha, the Rabbi Huda. Here Rabbi Huda says that you can't use a boat, make a bow, because we're afraid that if you're going to make a bow, you may come to make a knot. Whereas Rabbi Huda in our Mishnah says that you can use a chevel de gardi, and we're not worried that if you're going to use a chevel de gardi, you may come to make a kesher shel kayama with a regular rope. And kasher the rabbanon. In our Mishnah, the rabbanon hold that you can't use even a chevel de gardi, and here the rabbanon hold that you can make a bow. Answers the Gemara: the rabbanon lo kasher. The way we could reconcile the opinion on the rabbanon is chevel b'chevel machlif. The Rabbanan concerned that if we allow you to use one type of rope, you're going to use other types of rope. And since if we allow you to use one, we're going to allow you to use the other, which of course could come up to end up being a kesher shel kayama. However, a neva b'kshira loy mechufa. The Rabbanan are of the opinion that nobody's going to confuse a neva and kshira. And therefore, even though kshira, tying a knot, is usur, making a bow is mutter. Rabbi Yehuda loy kasha. The way we reconcile the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, hasok loy mishum deloy mechfa neva b'kshira. It's not that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that if I allow you to make a bow, you may come to make a knot. It's just much more fundamental. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is ala neva kshirihi. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a neva is considered a kshira. And this is a very important halacha. The question is, what is considered a what is considered a neva or what is considered kshira. And the Rabbanan and the Behuda is teaching us that he holds that that every act of a neva, every time you make a bow, you automatically over the lav of kshira. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Yud Zayin Sif Hei, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a neva is lav kshirihi, that a neva is not considered a kshira, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rabbanim. And the Rama says, a filam osa kesha achas lamatam a neva, if you make a knot and on top of it you make a bow, knowing the mamheter, we could be lenient. However, the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Achronim in Sifkotin Chavtes, says that the Rama is only makel if your intention was to open it up that day. But if it's not, then but if that wasn't your intention, we should be machmer. The Bi'a HaGra disagrees, and the Bi'a HaGra says that under all circumstances, you could be makel when even if you have a gnat under a bow. And the reason the Avni Nezer says that the Gra is makel is because the Avni Nezer asks a question. He says that shnei ksharim achas al sheni, two knots one on top of the other, is considered a maisa uman. So asked Avni Nezer, why if you have a neva on gabi a kesher, could Rabbi Yehuda be machmer? It isn't a kesher al gabi kesher, so it's not a maisa uman. So therefore, the Rama who paskins that even to be considered a kesher, there has to be a kesher shakayama. So that's why the Rama says that a kesher gaba aniva, the aniva gaba kesher, is not considered a kesher. Where is this most nageya? Where this is most nageya is when somebody is doing galila on Shabbos, particularly when he's doing galila on Shabbos afternoon. So if you're doing galila on Shabbos afternoon, so if you tie the say for Torah, you make a knot, you're going to have a problem of, so at least, say the Paiskim, don't make two ksharim, don't make two knots. You should do a neva gabi kesher. Because if it's a neva gabi kesher, we have at least what the Rama says, that that's not considered a kesher shel kayoma. Another place where I saw this is relevant, and it's not just a galila on Shabbos afternoon where this is relevant, it's also relevant to galila if you have an aliyah Thursday morning. Because if you have an aliyah Thursday morning, and then the next time we read from the Sefer Torah is Shabbos morning, which is more than 24 hours from when the last time we read from the Sefer Torah, and there are opinions, as we cited in our previous year, that even within 24 hours, it's considered kesher shel kayama. So somebody who opens up that kesher Shabbos morning before they read this from the Sefer Torah, it's going to be considered that he did an act of matter. And therefore, best thing is either to use something with a buckle, as we discussed in the previous year, or to maybe do not make a knot at all, just roll it around and tuck it in. Rav Shlomo Zalman, however, said that the minig is that they make an ordinary knot and a bow, even Shabbos Mincha, because, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that when we're dealing with a Dvar Mitzvah, as we're discussing, we can rely on the opinion of the Rama that a Neva, Al-Gabe Kesher, is not a concern. The other place where I saw that this heter may be relevant is by if somebody needs to take out the garbage on Shabbos and they take out the big bag, and the question is that they want to tie the plastic bag, and the question is, under what circumstances, how could you tie it together? Especially if you're going to make a double knot, and may be considered a kesher shel kayama. So the Debrit Siner Rav, in fact, says that you should only make either one knot, because everybody agrees that if you will make only one knot, that's not a kesher shel kayama, or since this is not meant to be opened up again, and it's also just garbage that you want to throw out, so under those circumstances, even though it's not your intention to ever open it up, it may not be considered an issue of Kesher Shel Kayama. And there's a beautiful raya. The raya is that we know it on Yom Kippur, one of the big avoidas was that they threw the Sor LaZazel down the mountain and they tied a thread around its horns. Now they tied him without the intention of ever opening it up. So why is there no concern of Kesher Shel Kayama? So we see that when you don't really need the knot, it may not be considered perhaps a Kesher Shel Kayama. And therefore, here as well, since you don't really need, you're just trying to get the garbage out of your home, so a Kesher, Gaba Kesher, one should not do. Because as we're learning in our Shurim, a Kesher Shel Gaba Kesher is always considered Usur. But if you make a Nival Gabi Kesher, which as we just quoted, the opinion of the Ramah is that a Nival Gabi Kesher is not an issue, even though the Mishnah Berurah is Machmer, under such circumstances, one could be more lenient. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rab Abba, Amar Rab Chibar, Ashi, Amar Rav. Maybe Adam Chevon B'toch Beisoy, a person could bring a rope from his home, the Kesher B'par of Ivas, he could tie it to a cow and to the other side of a feeding receptacle, that's how you'll keep the animal there to be able to eat. It says in the Braisa, a rope whose one end is tied to a feeding receptacle, you could tie the other end to a cow. And if a rope is already on one side tied to the cow, you could tie it to a feeding receptacle. But you shouldn't bring a rope from your house and tie it to both ends. And tie one end to the cow and one end to the receptacle. So here it seems to say that you're not allowed to tie these two knots. How could Rav Abba say you may? Answers the Gemara. Hasam, then the Brice is referring to Chevel the Alma. We're talking about a regular rope. But since it's a regular rope, we need to be concerned that you're going to leave it there. You're going to untie one side and you're going to leave the other side there on a permanent basis. However, Hacha, Rav Av is talking about a Chevel de Gardi. It's a Chevel that the weavers use. And since it's a Chevel that the weavers use, we need not be concerned that he's going to leave it there on a permanent basis because he's going to need it. So says Taisus that in our Mishnah we said that the Chacham said that you're not allowed to use a Chevel Shel Gardi because you may get confused and use a regular rope. It was Rabbi Yehuda who in our Mishnah wasn't concerned from that. Says Taisus, from here we see that the Halach is like Rabbi Yehuda because our Gemara clearly says that when we're talking about a Chevel de Gardi, we don't have to worry that you're going to confuse it with a regular rope. But then Taisus continues to say that maybe over here the Rabbanan will agree that we don't make a gzeira by a Chevel Shel Gardi. Because people never use a Chevel de Gardi to tie to their animal. And that's why the Rabbanan agree that under these circumstances we need not make a gzeira. What? But sometimes people do leave, they always need a rope tied to their pail. And since they always need a rope tied to the pail, by a pail, the rabbanan were more machma. Continues the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Klei Kiyue. You're allowed to move the weaver's kalim, mutl tatlim, b'shabbos. You're allowed to move them on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, B'aymnei Merav Yehuda. They asked Merav Yehuda, Koyver elyon, the Koyver tachtin. In the weaver's machine that he used to weave it, they had on the top and on the bottom of this contraption a stick on which they kept the threads. May they be moved on Shabbos or not? In the lav, the Rafi Biyade. So Gemara says he wasn't quite sure. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. Itmar, Amrav Nachman Mishmul, but the Gemara paskins, Kli Kiyui, mutal tat b'shabbos. You may move these different kelim. Afilu kaver elyon v'kaver atachton. You're allowed to move all of the kelim of the weaver, and even the kaver elyon and kaver atachton may be moved. Avloya samudim. In this machine, there were two standing poles. Those two standing poles are not prohibited. And again, the issue here is this muksa? And the way the Gemara is learning is that even if it's a kli, this way Rashi learns, that even we know that a kli shlemachta l'isser is muksa, and a kli shlemachta l'isser can only be moved l'tzorich gufay u'mekaymai, but the Gemara is teaching us that it's a kli shlemachta l'isser l'heter. Again, this is the Pashat Pshat in Rashi. And since it's a kli shlemachta l'isser l'heter, it may be moved. There is no concern that you're going to, that because that is a muksa. We know that any keli that can be used l'isser l'heter is not considered muksa. Rabbi Kiv Eger has a problem with Rashi's pshat. Rabbi Kiv Eger says, how could you say that this weaver's kalim could be used for any purpose? Isn't this a muksa machmas chasar and kis? Somebody's not going to use an expensive keli, something that's part of an expensive keli, for his own personal use. And therefore, Rav Kiv Eger wants to learn that the concern in our Gemara is a concern of muksa machmas chasar and kis. But we're going to learn with Rashi. Continues the Gemara. Amalei Rav Elar of Nachman. Maishna amudim deloy. Why are we saying that the amudim of this keli may not be moved in Shabbos? Ilema. So you're going to say it has nothing to do with muksa. It's going to do a different concern, the ka'avad gumas. Because when you take the poles out of where they're in the ground, you're causing that the earth that was in that area should move, and you're making a hole in the ground. And we know that you're not allowed to make a hole in the ground. Ask the Gemara, gumas memela kahavian. That's not called making a hole, because it's just when you pick up the sticks, you have a hole. That isn't considered making a hole. And as the Rishonim explain, even though it's a psik resha, that as soon as you take out these poles, you're going to have a hole, it's still mutter, because it's mekalkel. You're not doing something constructive. And the halacha is that mekalkel, even when it's a psik resha, we spoke about this earlier in our Masechta, is mutter. Furthermore, explained the Rishonim, this is not really considered an act of choifer, because choifer is when you dig a hole and you end up with a hole. Here, you're not digging a hole, you're just removing these sticks, and when you remove the sticks, then you have a hole. And therefore, that isn't considered making a hole. And the Gemara brings a raya, the Tanan. The Mishnah says, Hatoimim lefes v'tsoinenis. If somebody buries a turnip or radish, tachas agefen, under the grapevine for storage, im mixes olav megulim, if some of the leaves are still exposed, and therefore there's no problem to move it on Shabbos, as we'll see, ain't a choshesh, there are no halacha you have to be concerned, loy mishim klayim, because you're planting this radish under your grape tree. And planting under a grape tree, if it's considered that it's planted together, there would be an issa klayim. And as the Rishonim say, it's not only a grape tree. Just typically, the earth under a grape tree was soft, so it was very easy to bury something there. So the halacha is enes shachar shalom shem klayim. That's not considered that you violated klayim. V'loy mishum shvius, if you did this in the Shemitah year, it's not considered that you worked the earth in Shemitah. V'loy mishum maisa. The halacha is if you replant something, then you chayv maiser on what you replanted. This is not considered that you replanted, that is something that grows now has a new chayv maiser. And nitolim b'shabbos. Now, why are you allowed to take out this on Shabbos? When you're going to take this radish out of the earth in which it's buried, aren't you causing a hole? The Mishnah yet says it's mutter. We see that if it's not a direct act of choifer, and it's not something that you want, then it's not considered an isser. Answers the Gemara, you can't compare what's taking place in a field to what's taking place in your home. Besada, if you have a hole in your ground, in your field, you're going to leave the hole there. That's the way it is in the field. Hacha, but the machine of the way of the weaver was in the house. And if somebody has a hole in the house, hach b'bayis, the hole is in the house. And if somebody has a hole in the house, nobody wants to leave a hole in their house. And therefore, also l'shvui gumas, Chazal were concerned that you're going to straighten this out. B'aminei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda bar Levoi, kli kui, the different implements of the weaver, k'goin kovet elyon, kovet atachton, mal tertel b'shabbos, what's the halacha? Maybe they moved on Shabbos. Is there consideration of muksa? Amalei ematatlan. They may not be moved. So he asked, my tam, what's the reason? Lefi she'ein netlan. They're not moved. And the reason they're not moved is since they're always designated, this is where the Magen Mishnah explains the Gemara, since they're always designated for that, so they become a klish malach del iser, and a klish malach del iser, you may not move on Shabbos unless it's letzorech gufoy mekoymoy. And this is not, if you're not moving it letzorech gufoy mekoymoy, you have no heter to move it. But this Gemara is the basis for a very interesting discussion. When we learned Hilchas Muksa, we discussed extensively, when we speak about Muksa Machs Mukhsarim Chis, as Rabbi Kivega explained this Gemara, we said that the issue here is not as much a Kli Shemalach Delisser. The issue here is that it's a Kli that it's Muksa Machs Mukhsarim Chis. There are Paiskim, and they use this Gemara, Rabbi Kivega, as a Raya, that a Muksa Machs Mukhsarim Chis is only considered muksa machmasar and kiss when it's a kli shemalach del iser as well. But if you have something that does fall into the category of a muksa machmasar and kiss, but it's not a kli shemalach del iser, I saw in the Shas of Tshuvas or Letzion that he holds that isn't considered muksa machmasar and kiss. Where would this be very relevant? He says that a picture hanging, certainly expensive picture hanging on the wall. It's not a klishim lach delisa. There's nothing involved that's also with a picture. But it is muksamach chsar and kiss. And the question is, would that be considered muksamach chsar and kiss or not? Says the Mishnah, mekaplan es akelim, one could fold garments, afila arba v'chamish pamim, even four or five times. And the reason, says the Taisus Yontif, this Mishnah comes here to talk about if you may fold your garments on Shabbos. Because we learned in the previous Mishnah, under what circumstances can a woman close her garment on Shabbos? So very much it fits in here. Can you also fold your begadim on Shabbos? And the reason Rashi explains, they would fold their clothing, because otherwise they would get creased. And says the Mishnah Kaplan Sakalim Afila Arba Vachomesh Pamim, Matsina Samitas Malel Shabbos L'Shabbos. One could make his bed from Friday night to Shabbos morning. You're making the bed for Shabbos. Avaloy Mishabbos L'Matzah Shabbos. That means Posh Pshat in the Mishnah that you could, if you get up in the morning, Shabbos morning, you could still make your bed because you're making your bed L'Kovet Shabbos. But if you get up, if you take a nap Shabbos afternoon, and you're not going to go back to sleep again until after Shabbos, you can't make your bed. So, and the Magen Avraham, however, says that the reason why the minig is that people do make their beds, even if Shabbos afternoon, even though they're not going to sleep again till Motzei Shabbos, explains the Magen Avraham, it's not because they don't want to have in their home a mess on Shabbos. So if the purpose of what you're doing is to avoid a mess in your home on Shabbos, then it's mutter. In our calendar, in our set calendar, Yom Kippur can never be on a Friday. Yom Kippur can never be on a Sunday. In their calendar, Yom Kippur could be on a Friday and a Sunday. And even though they try to avoid it from happening, it is technically possible. So says Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Mekapim, that's a kalim. You could fold your kalim, Metzinas Amita, so you can make your bed Yom Kippur l'Shabbos. If Yom Kippur is on Friday, you could make your bed l'Kavod Shabbos. V'chel v'Shabbos kraven b'Yom Kippurim. If Yom Kippur comes out on Sunday and they brought kabbonis on Shabbos, they could still burn the fats of those kabbonis on Matzah Shabbos, which is Yom Kippur. And v'loish Yom Kippur b'Shabbos, you may not burn the fats of Yom Kippur on Shabbos. If Yom Kippur was on Friday night, you can't burn the kabbonis of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur and Shabbos are equal, and you can't do one for the other. But it's clear that the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is that Yom Kippur is less than Yom Kippur. And the reason explained, I see the Shulchan Malachim explains, that Shabbos is considered more than Yom Kippur. Shabbos, and what makes Shabbos more than Yom Kippur? What makes Shabbos more than Yom Kippur is that Yom Kippur, the way we serve Hashem, is only with Ruchnius. There is no Gashmius on Yom Kippur. On Shabbos, we serve Hashem not just with Ruchnius, but we also serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Gashmius. And so that makes Shabbos even more than Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, when we start speaking the halacha about folding kalim, folding begadim, Amri debei Reb Yanai, loy shanal be'em echad. When we're allowed to fold kalim in our Mishnah, it's only if one person is folding them. Abishnei b'nei adam, if two people are folding it, loy. That's already considered too much of an act of folding. Ube'adam echad nami, one person as well, loy mar el b'chadoshim. We're only speaking about by new kalim. Since the new kalim, so they're really quite folded. So you're not really accomplishing that much with folding those kalim. By old kalim, they're already quite creased. So folding them is considered a significant act, and therefore it's also. V'chadasha namin la'maron el belvonim. White garments, which stay quite folded, well folded, all the time. Abitzvum, colored garments, get creased quickly. So what you're doing is considered a real act, and it's asur. And furthermore, when you don't have any other garments available, and therefore you have another nice suit to wear, then you shouldn't fold it. Tana, and says the Gemara, they never folded their white garments. They had other garments available, and if you have other garments available, you have no right to fold them on Shabbos. And that's the halacha, that a person should avoid folding anything on Shabbos. He should not fold anything on the crease on Shabbos. The halacha is, but if you didn't fold it along the original crease, then it's mutter. This is, of course, the reason why people don't fold their talesim on Shabbos, because they're not going to wear it again on Shabbos. They're not wearing it on Shabbos. And therefore, we don't fold them again. We don't fold our talesim that we wear Shabbos morning on the loins. The shaila is, if Yontif is on Friday, the halacha is you're allowed to fold for the next day, that there's a machlokes if you're allowed to fold your talus on Yom Tov Friday for Shabbos, only if you made an Erev Tavshilin. Others say that even if you didn't make an Erev Tavshilin, it's mutter. Continues the Gemara, Amar Huna, Yesh Loi L'Hachlev. If somebody has different begodim for Shabbos, he should wear them on Shabbos. But if you don't have another garment to wear for Shabbos, Yishal Shal Begadav. At least take your beggar that you're wearing and make it longer. In those days, people only wore only people who were distinguished wore long begadim, because wearing long begadim sort of represents that I don't need to work. So how could everybody wear such begadim? Isn't that ramas rucha? Isn't that showing arrogance? Answers the Gemara, kivin d'loy kol yom lo yavid. This person doesn't wear such clothing every day. V'idna, covid, and Shabbos he's wearing it, then lo mechzik ramas rucha, it doesn't look like he's doing out skaiva. So I saw from Rabbi Yosher Ber Salvechik Zatzal, he says that everything on Shabbos, what we learn from this Gemara, is that everything from Shabbos is supposed to be different than during the weekdays. So Rav Shechter, in his Sefer Pnine Arav, quoting Rav Salvechik Zatzal, says that the people that make Shabbos early Friday night, he says, it matters why you're making the Shabbos early. If you're making Shabbos early because you want to have an Einik Shabbos, fantastic. But if you're making Shabbos early because you eat dinner every night the same time, that's not a good reason to make Shabbos early. Because from here we see that Shabbos is supposed to be different. And maybe you're supposed to eat on Shabbos your meal a different time than you eat it during the week. Says the Gemara, V'chibaritam asoif terechacha, learns the Gemara, Shloi Mabushka shal Shabbos kamishal shchol. What you wear, your clothing that you wear on Shabbos should not be the same clothing you wear during the week. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, Karl imanim chudasei. He would say that his clothing are his covered, and therefore his covered has to be different on Shabbos. So I saw that the division of Tzarebbe said that Mabushka shal Shabbos kamabushal shchol is not talking about your outer garments. It's supposed to be your inner garments. A person's behavior on Shabbos, his covet on Shabbos, is supposed to be different than it is during the week. Shabbos is supposed to be different. Also, I saw that the Sefer Shvisa Shabbos explains that from here we see that when we speak about clothing on Shabbos, it's considered in the concept of covet Shabbos, not Oynik Shabbos. What does that mean? So he explains. When we speak about Oynik Shabbos, for example, we spoke in a previous shiur that somebody enjoys fasting, so for him, the Oynik Shabbos is fasting. Maybe he's allowed to fast on Shabbos. Oynik Shabbos is subjective. But when we speak about covered Shabbos, that's not a subjective halacha. That's a halacha that applies to everybody. And since that's a halacha that applies to everybody, nobody has an excuse not to change his clothing on Shabbos. The Masoist Rechecha continues the Gemara. Shlo yelucha k'shabbos k'lucha shechol. A person shouldn't work on Shabbos like he works during the week. Mimtza cheftzecha, chavetzecha asurim. Your private business is asur, cheftze shemayim matarim, but if you do cheftze shemayim, that may be done on Shabbos. V'dabedover, shlo yediburcha shel Shabbos, kediburcha shel chol. The way you speak on Shabbos should not be the same way you speak during the week. And as however says the Gemara, dibur asur, you may not speak, but hira mutar, thinking is mutar. So the way Rashi explains, the Gemara is you shouldn't speak about mundane weekday matters on Shabbos. Tosis says that is not what Shloi Debrucha comes to teach us, because that we already learned from Mimtza Cheftzecha. And therefore Tosis says that the explanation here is that on Shabbos you're supposed to speak less. A Jew on Shabbos is supposed to use his words sparingly. And that's what it means, Shloi Debrucha Shal Shabbos. I saw from Rabbi Yosha Ben Salavechik that he speaks about, that he says, Shlo yedibur chashal Shabbos kedibur chashal chol, it means that it's talking about davening. And you're davening, the tefillahs that we daven on Shabbos should be different than the tefillah we daven during the week. We know that during the week, or even on Yom Neroim, we're allowed to say tchinas when we daven. On Shabbos, we can't say Tchina. There's an interesting question. What is the halacha if you're allowed to speak in a place where you're not allowed to speak the Divrei Torah? So during the week, you're allowed to speak other types of speech in such places. Will that halacha apply on Shabbos as well? And I saw that the Sfas Emes explains, why is this? Why do we have all these halachas on Shabbos? So he says that we learned early in our Masechta that when they did the Cheta Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away from them the Ksarim that they got by Kabbalah Satayra. But every Shabbos, we receive back those Ksarim. So since every Shabbos, we receive back those Ksarim, it's inappropriate that somebody who's wearing the Ksarim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us should on Shabbos wear, should on Shabbos use those, speak Dvarim B'Talim in those Ksarim. And I saw that the Sefer Panim Yafis explains why. Because Shabbos is a day of Meleches Machsheves. We keep on learning in our Masechta that Shabbos is a day of Machshava. And if a person speaks on Shabbos Dvarim B'Talim, so then what Shabbos was given for him, that it should be a day of Kedusha, he's abusing that. And therefore, that's not what he's allowed to do on Shabbos. When we say Hira Mutter, why is Hira Mutter? So the Meiri explains that Hira is Leinit Natar L'Mlach HaSharis. It's impossible for us to control our thoughts. So even though Dibur is Asur, Hira is Mutter. The Maral explains differently. He says that Shabbos was supposed to be Mekadosh, as we spoke about a minute ago, our Gashmias. Dibur is the Gashmias. And therefore, our Gashmias, what makes a person into a person? The ability to speak. So the Gashmias is supposed to become sanctified in Shabbos. How does it become sanctified in Shabbos? Is by being, by that the Dibur is supposed to be Shleid Debruch Shabbos Kedvruch Shalchol. Hearer is not Gashmias, and therefore it has a different halacha. But the halacha is that even though hearer is mutter, the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Shinvav Sifkat and Aleph teaches us that the halacha is that you're not allowed to stand next to your field, next to your business, where it's obvious that you're standing there for the purpose of seeing what's doing with your business. Even though you're not doing anything, if it's obvious that you're doing it as a mundane matter, it's usur. The Shail Shiavit says that even though we're saying that hearer is mutter, the halacha is that's only if something, like the Miri explained, if it came into your head, something that you couldn't control. But let's say you read something which is weekdayish, and by reading something that is weekdayish, that's how you start thinking about it. That's not considered hearer mutter. I saw that the Divrei Shmuel says, "V'dabe dover shalei debircha shel Shabbos kedebircha shel Chol." So he asks, "What's the Gemara referring to?" It can't be referring, he says, to Dvarim B'Talim, because Dvarim B'Talim are prohibited during the week as well. So he says that even the Divrei Torah and the Divrei Tefillah of Shabbos are different on Shabbos than they are during the week. During Shabbos, a person davens differently, and during Shabbos, he learns differently. Shabbos is entirely different. Says the Rabbi Shlomo Kula, everything we learned l'chai is understandable. But ask the Gemara, that you shouldn't walk on Shabbos like you walk during the week. Mahi, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, if somebody's walking Shabbos, or pagah b'masa mayim, there's a puddle of water on the street. If the stream is so narrow that he could step over it with one step, mutter, he could walk over the stream that way. Then lav, but if it isn't that way, also he may not. Ask the Gemara, maskal of Rava. Ask Rava, hechle of it. What should you do if there's a large stream? What should you do on Shabbos? Lekif, if you should walk around the stream, kamapish melucha, you're walking more. On Shabbos, we don't want you to walk more than you need to. Lever, should you walk through it? Then there's another concern. Zimun tov samani maya, your clothing may get wet, and also they schita, and you may end up doing schita by squeezing them out. Ella, kivin delay efshar, if there's no other option, shapi dummy, you could jump over the puddle. Ella, so says the Gemara, what does this mean? that you can't walk on Shabbos like during the week. Could somebody take large steps on Shabbos? Amaloi. So to which he answered, V'chi b'chol mei hutra, may you do so during the week. Shani Omer, Ham learned, P'si gasin etalas echt mechamesh meyes mor enev shal adam, that takes away a 500 of your eyesight. Mahadale, and how do you get it back? B'kedusha debei shimshi, by the Kiddush Friday night. There's a machloikas hapoiskim, what does it mean that you get it back with you eat with on Friday night with the Kiddush? Some say is by dabbing the oil. By dabbing the oil on your eyes, by dabbing the wine from Kiddush on your eyes. Some say it means from drinking the Kiddush wine. And some say it means not looking at the Kiddush wine or looking at the Neiris. There's a point to look at the Neiris of Shabbos. And those by looking at the Neiris of Shabbos, that's what brings back the eyesight that you lost by walking that way during the week. Why does Shabbos Kiddush have to be connected to eyesight? So they say because the Shabbos Kiddush represents Menucha Shabbos. And when somebody comes to the Menucha Shabbos, his eyesight will go back. Why looking at the candles? Many people are very makbid to look at the candles when they're making Kiddush. Because Ner, every home has at least two candles. Ner is b'gematria 250. Two times 250 is 500. Our Gemara just said that the candles, that you lose a 500th of your eyesight. By looking at the two candles, you get back the eyesight, the 500. The Pasuk says that when Lavan heard that Eliezer had arrived, he ran hachutza la'ayin. So Rashi says, Lomarotz, Vamarotz, Omar, Eliezer said, Lovin said, Oshahu, Eliezer must be a wealthy person, V'nosin ena b'momin. So I saw that the Sefer Me'ena Shel Torah explains what's pshat, V'nosin ena b'momin. So he says that he ran. And Al Gemara just said that running causes you to lose your eyesight. Eliezer, Lavan was such a person that Nosan Eina B'Mamon. He was ready to give up his eyesight. Running causes you to lose your eyesight, but he was ready to do it to give up his eyesight for Mamon. I saw that one of the other reasons how this Gemara is connected to our previous Sugya is because in the previous Sugya, we learned that about Kesher Shal Kayama. And here we're learning, Shalai Deburuch Shal Shabbos, Kedeburuch Shal Chol. Your weekday, your Shabbos, you're not supposed to speak the same things you speak during the week. But Dvar Mitzvah, you're allowed to speak. That means you're allowed to speak Shidduchim and Shabbos. And every Shidduch we hope and pray will be a Kesher Shal Kayama. If it's going to be a Kesher Shal Kayama, we're learning that Kesher is Asur. But now we're saying that if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, that type of Kesher is permitted on Shabbos. Bominei Rav Shmuel b'Rav Yosef. Ma lechel adomah b'Shabbos. Are you allowed to eat earth on Shabbos? Omaloi, v'chi b'chol mehutra. Are you allowed to eat earth during the week that you're asking about Shabbos? Sha'ani oim ha'af b'chol osur. Even during the week, you're not allowed to eat earth. Nei shemalka. It's dangerous. Om Rav Abi, and it says Rav Abi, kol oichel ma'afir shal bovel. Whoever eats from the earth of bovel, ki oila oichel m'b'sar avoysav. He's eating like the flesh of his forefathers because they lived in Bavel and they died there while they lived in Bavel and their bodies turned into dust. And therefore, since they weren't so careful about marking cemeteries, you may end up eating the flesh of your forefathers. It's as if you ate different insects. The Pasuk says, V'yimach kol ha'yikum. Amar Rish Lakish. Lama nikra shinar. Why is Bavel called shinar? Shekol meisi mabel nebril l'sham. All the people who died during the Mabel ended up in Bavel. Amar Rav Yochanan. Lama nikra shema metzula. Why is it called the deep? Shekol meisi mabel nitzul l'sham. Ended up drowning there. V'yesha mekil oichel shkotzer remashim. Vavadi Smuchim Smachu. Asked the Gemara, but didn't any of the Shkatzim or Moshim certainly get completely decomposed into earth? Amri Kivin the Malki, since it's not healthy, Gozer Barabonin. So Chazal wanted to show how serious it is. So Chazal said it's like eating Shkatzim or Moshim. The Hu Gavr the Ochel Gakishta, there was a person who ate clay, and then he ate Vachel Tachli, and he ate cress, the Kodlai Tachli believe of a mess. And the cress sprouted up into his heart. These two different ingredients mixed together in his heart, and he died. The pasuk here speaks about Boaz, and he tells Boaz and Ruth. But the pasuk first says that Ruth told Naomi, "Bathe and anoint yourself and put on garments." Amar Reb Elazar. So how does this come into our sugya? Because we've been learning in our sugya about needing to have special begodim on Shabbos. So it says the Gemara, what Naomi told Ruth was to put on begodim shel Shabbos. You have to put on your special begodim. Similar sayach. And the Mashal says, from here we see that every Jew has to have similar sayach. Two types of clothing. Weekday clothing and Shabbos clothing. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, in Mishlei, ten lechachem v'yichgayid. Who are these individuals that showed extra wisdom? Amr Belazar Zerus HaMoyev V'Shmuel HaRamasi. Rus, the Ilan Amr Karmelo, Naomi told Rus, V'chatz V'sach V'simlech Sosai Chalayadich V'yirad HaGayrin. Put on your clothing before you go down. V'il B'didoksev, what did Rus do? V'teir HaGayrin. First she went down to the threshing area. V'hod V'tas K'chal Shetziv S'chamasa. She didn't walk in the street with the Shabbos clothing because people would see it. They would say, why is she wearing such nice clothing during the week? Shmuel, the Pasuk tells us, heard every night a voice. And he thought it was Eli who was calling him. But it really wasn't Eli, it was Hashem who was calling him. And Eli told Shmuel that the next time you hear the voice, Shchev, go back to sleep. When Shmuel did was V'yava Hashem Yisyatzev V'yikur Kapam Pam Shmuel Shmuel V'yoyim Adaber Kishomei Avdecha. Even though Eli told him to say Daber Hashem, he was careful not to say Hashem's name because maybe it isn't Hashem, and he only said Daber. So the pasuk continues. The Gemara continues discussing what happened with Rus and Boaz. The pasuk says, "V'teilek v'tovet v'talaket b'sada." Amr Elazar shalcha basa halcha basa. She went back and forth. Atcha masa b'nei adam hamuganim leilichimon until she found the proper company. V'yom boys l'narav hanitzav al koytzrim l'mi hanara azois. Ask the Gemara, "V'chidaka shaboyas l'shal b'nara." Does boys ask about girls who are working in the field? Amr Belazar says Reb Elazar Dovah Chachma Rabba. He saw that she was doing something that showed Chachma. Shnei Shibolim Lokta. If there were two ears of grain, she would pick them up. Shleisha Shibolim Ein Lokta. Three, she wouldn't. So the Mashal and many other Mefarshim ask that the halachi is that whenever we speak about Lekha Shechapeya, the halachi is that the din of Shibolim, it's only by two, not by three. So what's the big chachma that we see by her? So the Mashal answers, the Pasuk says, when it speaks about Leket, Le'ani Lager Tazareisam. But there's another Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Lager Liyosam Alamono. So why do you only pick up two? Because the Pasuk only says Le'ani Lager. But if somebody's a Ger Yosam Alamono, you would think that you have a right to pick up three. So even though Rus thought she has a right to pick up three, she only picked up as two. She only picked up two. The what Boaz saw in Rus was David Sneas Rabbah. I'm the Smu'umet, Neifles Yosef. When she would bow down, she would be careful to bow down in a way that it would not, she would bow down in a tzniyistig way. Another pshat, why was the Dvar Chokhmah by Rus? The Rus, as we know, was a Geyiris. And it wasn't necessarily that the first halacha that they taught a Geyiris was the halachas of Leket. Even though she was a Geyiris, and nobody ever taught us these halachas, she was able to know that that is the halacha. She was able to figure it out herself. V'chay Siddiqa in the Menorah Yisai asked the Gemara, V'chidaka Shabayas L'dabik Im Noshim, did Royas stay with the women? So the question is, what? He didn't tell her that he will stay with her. He said she'd be with the other girls. So the Mashah says that wherever we find the word Sidbakin, it means relations, women, husband and wife having relations. So it says, Amar Belazar, Kivin the Chaza, since Baya saw that regarding Arpa, V'tishak la'arpa l'chamos v'rus dafkabah, Amar Sharlat Bukaba, this is a woman who I want to marry. B'yamal Baya's leis ha'oichel g'shi aloyim, Amar Belazar, Remez Remez lo, Asidimes, Malchus Beistovet, Lotzis Memchal. Malchus Beistovet will emanate from you. The Ksibbe Halo, regarding Malchus Beistovet, it says haloyim. Shnema v'yoyim ha'melech tovet v'yeshu f'nei Hashem, v'yoyim ha'mi anoichi Hashem alakim, u'mi beisi kevesenu ar haloyim. But Tavalt Pitech b'chaymitz, he says, dip your food into the vinegar, Amar Belazar, b'kan shechaymitz yofel sheriff. Vinegar is good when it's very hot. You're going to have a descendant who is like vinegar, very bitter. Who was that? Menashe. She stood on the side, not between them. We know that the Malchus Beis David ultimately got divided between Yeravam and Rechavam. In the time of David, there was Toichal. In the time of Chizkiah. The time of Rebbe represents a time of tremendous shefa, a time of tremendous abundance. Amar, a harure the Rebbe have a osam shma malka. The people who took care of the horses of Rebbe were even wealthier than Shvar Malka. Masnisatan v'toich ba'olam haza, v'tizba l'moisa Mashiach, v'toisa las lovoi. Everything we do in this world will affect how we will look by Mashiach and how we will look las lovoi b'mheira b'yameinu.